Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We're ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you. Let's commence on this week's episode on Vulnerability Brings People Closer. We're so happy to have Joanne back on our podcast again after our Season 3, Episode 9 on How Much Do You Crave for Understanding? If our audience has not already known Joanne, she's the founder of Bubble Talks as well as Humble Bubble Hong Kong. She's great at sharing inspiring thoughts and bringing positive motivations on her channels in addressing mental health issues. We're very lucky to have her here today to talk about vulnerability. I think it's fair to say that we all have experienced being vulnerable in our lives. It's our willingness in acknowledging, expressing, and exposing our emotions. Emotions are such as like shame, sadness, anxiety, and insecurities. Despite vulnerability brings us fear, insecurities, and leave us feeling helpless sometimes, we can also find ways to break through these pain or these fear. I'm your host, Melody, and with me here today are our guest, Joanne, alongside with Vivian and Rita. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us again, Joanne. We're very excited to talk about vulnerability today. What are the raw emotions? Like when you guys feel vulnerable, what's the most like instant emotions that you guys tend to feel?
Emotionally, vulnerability, to me, it feels like we have different selves that we show. So for personally, on my perspective, I feel that the side that I usually wouldn't show to anyone, that's the part that's being exposed. And the reason why I would feel vulnerable at that moment is because I'm not sure whether people would accept or the person that I'm showing to others. It's mm-hmm. a place where I feel like I need to be in a fight flight mode or I need to do something. It can't just be me. That's how I feel when I'm being vulnerable.
Right. If we're trying to understand the emotions behind that, is it a mix of fear, insecurity, or what is it that you think it is?
For some people, it could be insecurity. For others, it could mainly be fear. What I tend to feel is it could be a mixture of both. So sometimes you would feel very anxious. And sometimes it's your inner voice speaking really loud, like, you can't do this. No, you shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And sometimes because you're surrounded yourself with people that are very judgmental or they're always making comments that are not as nice, right? And then you would be like, it's not necessarily true, especially when you're a teenager. Suddenly these voices, they would convince you that what you're experiencing and how you're feeling is magnified. For example, during my darkest phase, I would say there was a moment where I was so insecure where I could go on and on about what's imperfect about me from head to toe, from my eyes to my feet to my hands. And I didn't know what was happening, but I was like, I don't know why I would feel this way. Because there was a moment when I grew up in South Africa where I did not care what other people think. And then came to Hong Kong and everyone is very conscious about what others say and what others are doing. And then there's a period where everyone like feels vulnerable at that state and anything can trigger them and be like, oh my God.
And also it's a bit like self-affirmation, isn't it? The more you tell yourself, the more you believe that it's true, even though deep down, you know that it might not be true. I remember like when I feel vulnerable, usually I would feel like my confidence is really low. Like I feel weak. Like I just feel that I've got no strength. It's not just like mentally, but sometimes I would physically even feel really weak.
I actually resonate with what Joanne just said. Today is just the perfect day to share my experience on this topic because I experienced one of the lowest day today and I had massive major breakdown today. And because I was at my workplace, I didn't feel appropriate to show that vulnerability. And I was just climbing the stairs, go two floors down and just hide in a corner and just bawl my eyes out because everything was just too overwhelming. And I was self-doubting whether I could achieve what I wanted to achieve. And At that point, I knew that my colleagues were not judgmental. They would never be judgmental. They're very friendly, very nice people. But then I still didn't feel safe to just expose all the vulnerability, or I was apprehensive towards how people gonna react. Maybe that they would be taken aback, or they would be showing so much love that I couldn't take as well at that time. So yeah, I mean, that there was a little inner voice at that time for sure saying that this is not appropriate, like hold back your tears, don't do this here.
But have we actually thought about why do we even have the feeling or the association of thinking vulnerability equals to we need to feel ashamed or embarrassed? Brené Brown actually once said, like, vulnerability is basically uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. So I just wonder why so naturally to a lot of us that when we feel vulnerable, that just makes us act in a way that we want to avoid or we want to hide.
I could elaborate on that. It really comes from our surroundings and our upbringing. When we're younger, we're taught, like in school, like you shouldn't fail, you can't. So we're taught like we're not allowed to ever do that. For men or like women, like for a girl who cries, it's like stop being emotional. And if for a guy is crying, it's like, yo, man up. So this is like normal emotions and you're telling people to not feel.
Yeah, not you can never out. Win.
Yeah, like,
it's such a a shame-based culture, isn't it? And it's not healthy. And people do encourage that in our society, or at least in the environment that I grew up in.
And for a long time, I didn't say anything about my past because I really have recovered and I don't think it inhibits me. But I still have to go get medicine. Of course, I can apply for a leave, like I'm just going to the clinic, but there are cases where I don't want them to think like, oh, wait, what if she's using this as an excuse to go somewhere else or something?
So what happened today is I knew that I was not doing well mentally. So I was just bawling my eyes out two floors down at a corner. And after I went back to the office, I got on my computer and I was like, maybe I would like to drop in and see a counselor at school and just, you know, have a person that I could vent to and give me some perspectives and stuff. But then I realized that I closed the window immediately when I sensed that people are walking by behind me, because I don't want people to see that mentally I'm not doing well. And I'm nearly even uncomfortable for people to know that I'm browsing to ask for or reach out for counselor. So I don't know, where does this insecurity coming from? Honestly, like, I'm not anxious that people will be judgmental, but then I just don't feel like it's my professional image, maybe, that I don't want people to think the work that I'm having is out of my capacity, and that's why mentally you are crumbling down. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I'm in control, you know?
And then whenever we feel like we're out of control, we just get scared that we don't know where is that emotion going to bring us. Why does everything suddenly be just like turn into uncertainties, right?
Yeah, I guess.
For Rita, I totally understand. Professionally, because I've been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, with a suicidal attempt and stayed in a psychiatric hospital. There's a part of me that has wondered, how much do I need to reveal to my colleagues or to my boss? So I decided to come out and just say, oh, like I didn't tell my colleagues, but I did tell my boss, like, this is my past. And he said, oh, yeah, it's actually very normal. Like he has a friend that actually went through something similar and he's no longer here. So I guess like the older generation, they know about this, but they just cover it up. They don't deal with it because they're, number one, they were so busy trying to make money, feed themselves, provide for their kids. I guess it's a privilege for us to have the time to think and actually slow down and reflect. But at the same time, when we have too much time and we like, I understand how it is, like once you get into that hole, or you're like in self-doubt or like fear, you just can't stop. It's just like, it's like feels like some force is like pulling you in. It's like you have to literally tell yourself, like, at the same time, that's why when I was struggling, I felt like there was an angel and devil. So one part of me was like, yeah, you're such a loser, give up on your life. But the other part was like, no, you still have so much more to live for, you have to keep going. But vulnerability, I think, not only is about like being worried about what other people think, or I guess it also comes from how you view yourself. No one wants to be seen weak or judged. I guess a part of me that got better is I don't want to just be another example of someone who struggled with her mental health, and it's another person who my illness was able to overcome me and my life. I'm not saying I'm like recovered. I guess it's like learning how to balance everything mentally and emotionally.
But it's not only that. I feel like taking off the gender label, it's almost like the world is praising chillness. You know, there's a lot of times where, you know, people would be like, take a chill pill, just, you know, don't care. Like people kind of reinforce people that don't really care much. And then when you really do care, it means that, oh, you're not easygoing enough, or you are, it's not a big deal. I think there's a lot of times when I, no matter in a workplace or in personal relationships, when I share these kind of problems, a lot of the advice that I received would be, you know, like, just let things flow. And to a certain level, yes, like, eventually we need to accept what's happening and then focus on what we can control. But even like exposing that emotional experience, like, a lot of people would already shame you in a way, which is not their intention, but they just do. And I think, like, eventually, like what Joanne said, like, we learned to not to show that we care even we do. And then it became like a vicious cycle that we're stuck.
Support system, it's so important for every individual's. You need to figure out your way of how to get yourself out of it when you know that at that moment, you're very likely that you won't be conscious enough to help yourself sometimes. You know, as you said, like, when you feel vulnerable and you feel very weak, sometimes it's hard to believe that you have the ability to help yourself.
Exactly. And when we're vulnerable, I feel like we do all crazy things, like, which in our right mind, we wouldn't. For example, as you've mentioned, like, we have our support system and stuff, and I do have a very solid support system. But then when I'm vulnerable, I tend not to reach out to them, because one, for example, my family's always there, a safe haven for me. But then I wouldn't want them to worry, maybe, or I want them to have an image that I'm doing really well here, and they don't have to think about me in a negative way or a worry in general. So I don't reach out to them. I don't know, when I'm vulnerable, I'm just completely lost. I don't have a rational mind there. It's just my emotional self talking all the time.
I think it's actually normal and it's actually healthy to feel vulnerable at times, so that you understand what are the underlying emotional issues of yours, and then you can walk out of it and actually build more strength for the future. So I think what I would love to discuss and focus on is, like, how do we overcome or build strength on that?
So it's like our reference, Brené Brown, right? So she actually mentioned vulnerability and courage go hand in hand. Circling back to Rita's example, right? So you don't want them to worry, but to a certain extent, you know, like, reaching out to them might be your one of the few ways for you to, you know, like, get back on your feet or something. So eventually you will have to have the courage to tell them what's happening. And it also reminds me of a situation where I just had my mid-year review. I think in a workplace, it's very tricky because, yes, like, you need to, you have a certain professional image of yourself in your head that you want to maintain. But at the same time, if you're experiencing, you know, some hurdles that you need your senior to be aware of, whether it's a company structure, not complaining, but it's like, there are some problems that you need to voice up. And I realized that it took so much courage for me to walk in that room, because I know that it will be a very, very hard conversation And then you experience all those emotions that we talked about.
I'm so proud of us talking about our vulnerabilities and the emotions that come with it. It is so true that vulnerability and courage do come hand in hand. Stay tuned for part two of this episode next week. We continue to learn about these uneasy emotions, knowing that it's okay to feel vulnerable. And more importantly, is to master skills on dealing with vulnerabilities.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.